Thank you, Dr. Tomar. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the U.S. We moved from the international scene to the United States scene, and talk a little bit about the implementation of the treaty in the U.S. and the implications for public policy, as well as for environmental justice and public health education. And I have no relationships to disclose. So I'll first talk about the the goals of the Minamata Treaty, why mercury exposure is a problem, the requirements in the treaty, sources of mercury in the United States, and then while we want to focus on products. You heard that mercury oftentimes is from combustion of coal and other, but why focus on products? Then I want to talk about exposures in vulnerable populations and some policies that are needed to reduce mercury exposure. So the Minamata Convention on Mercury has as its objective to protect human health and the environment from human-made emissions and releases of mercury and mercury compounds. So you heard that mercury is a problem because, well, first of all, mercury is an element. And, you know, so as an element, of course, it can't be created or destroyed by humans, but it can be changed in different forms, different compounds. Some of them are more toxic than others, some are more biologically available than others. And, of course, mercury is persistent, bioaccumulative, and toxic. That is, that it persists in the environment for many, many years. Once it's released into the environment, it persists in the environment for many, many years. It bioaccumulates along the food chain. Smaller animals will eat other animals and then they will get their mercury. So, and the larger animals will consume them. And at every step, there's about a 3 to 5 times concentration of mercury. And of course, humans are the carnivores, or at least some of us are, and eat near the top of the food chain, and so therefore we'll get more mercury, and the amount of mercury that we tend to ingest is greater than the amount at which we release mercury. And of course, mercury is toxic in every form. Every form of mercury is toxic, but some forms are more toxic than others. So human exposure to mercury, our main exposure to mercury is from fish consumption. There are fish consumption advisories in all 50 states, but there's also mercury in commercial fish. But the amount of mercury in commercial fish varies considerably from the type of fish. Most fish do not have high mercury levels, but there are things like swordfish, king mackerel, which is usually not the canned mackerel, shark and tilefish, are known to have very high levels of mercury. Tuna has a moderate amount of mercury, but tuna is an issue because almost 40% of the mercury in the diet comes from canned tuna. The mercury that people consume and get in their bodies come from canned tuna. And if you throw in fresh tuna, about half of the mercury that people have comes from tuna. So, but mercury is also in, as you heard, in two fillings, but it hasn't been shown to cause direct health effects from the mercury in the tooth fillings. But our concerns are about the environmental release of mercury from that, and also from the medications and multi-dose vaccines. Some medications, particularly eye, ear, and nose antibiotics, do contain mercury, but again, they haven't been shown to cause direct harm to humans. So we talk about, what do we need to do? We need to reverse the bioaccumulation in the fish in order to protect public health. In order to do this, we must eliminate as much mercury as possible released into the air and to the water. You know, obviously mercury is an element and is found in the core of the earth and the ground in its natural state. There's a limited amount of release. So, you know, the increases that we've been seeing is because of the amount of mercury released into the air and into the water. So that's what the Minamata Convention on Mercury attempts to do. So what does the Convention on Mercury require? It requires a reduction of or elimination of mercury from gold mining. It also requires that the control of mercury air emissions from coal-fired power plants, industrial boilers, some metal productions, waste incineration, and cement productions where they will burn contaminated fuels that contain mercury. It also requires a phase-out or a reduction of mercury in manufacturing processes such as chloralkali, where they produce chlorine, vinyl chloride production, and acetaldehyde production. So if you look at the products the treaty requires phase out of mercury or reduced use of mercury in batteries, switches, lights, cosmetics. Although the Chinese were opposed to getting, I participated in the negotiations in Minamata, and there were some countries that I was surprised were opposed to reducing mercury out of cosmetics and some other things. But anyway, pesticides, measuring devices, and they don't require for the phase-out, but they call for the reduction of the use of phased-out of mercury and dental amalgam. And of course, in addition, the convention addresses the supply and trade of mercury, safer storage and disposal, and strategies to address mercury contamination. So if we look at the United States, you know, what are the mercury releases in the United States? So we can see that intentional use of mercury in products, where mercury is actually added to products, it's about 41 tons released into the air, 0.8 tons released into the water, and 106 tons released into the land. But if you look at combustion, we have 60 tons per year released into the air, mining 15 tons, and other 10 tons. So why should we focus on mercury products since mercury is mostly in combustion? Well, mercury is intentionally added to products. And it's arguably the easiest source to eliminate. Mercury in non-dental products has dropped 97% since 1980. We've been able to find alternatives to mercury in products and have been able to eliminate mercury from 97% of products. So this is this is showing the different sources of mercury switches, but here's some amalgam right here, and so the amount of reduction in amalgam is not as fast as most of the other products, as any of the other products, and so amalgam is now a leading source of mercury in products. But the use of mercury in dentistry is, of course, declining. And of course, there are alternatives. You heard previously that there are alternatives to dental amalgam. And even though only about half of dentists in the U.S. Use dental amalgam, it still represents one of the leading uses of mercury in products in the United States. Many other countries have virtually eliminated mercury use in their countries. On the right, you'll see 11 nations that have 10% or less amalgam use. So next, I wanted to move to vulnerable populations, and you know, who is vulnerable for mercury poisoning? Well, we're particularly concerned about pregnant women and the developing fetus. So, we talked about how mercury bioaccumulates in humans. It also crosses the placenta, and newborns are more susceptible, and the developing fetus is more susceptible, reducing IQs and other issues, fine motor movement problems, and other issues. Nursing mothers are also a higher risk group, as well as women who might become pregnant because of the same issue. Young children, although the ages aren't really defined, you know, the brain, at the time of birth, the brain is the fastest developing organ in the body, and so it's more susceptible to disruption of the normal development process. Subsistence fishers who fish from local waters, of course, it depends on which local water and how much mercury there is in the local fish, but they also tend to be to get more mercury exposure. People who engage in cultural practices using azagwe, it's a type of practice where they scatter. It's used a lot of times in Latin American cultures in a healing type of a process where they may scatter this product containing mercury into a room around the and then the fumes will build up. The mercury fumes that build up, and that particularly children who are crawling on the floor can inhale the mercury and become mercury poisoned from that. And also those who eat more than one or two tuna meals per week will have higher levels of mercury, and those from developing countries who live near mining or mercury storage or disposal sites. So there are a number of environmental justice concerns from this. People of color are more likely to have high mercury levels from subsistence fishing or eating, particularly Asian Americans, and from eating more canned tuna. This is some low-income folks and from other cultural practices. We talked about the azagwe. Low-income people The eating more canned tuna, I was just at a FDA hearing earlier this month about tuna and tuna. And the, you know, canned tuna is used in, low-income people tend to get more canned tuna, first of all, because canned tuna will last a lot longer. It doesn't require the refrigeration. It doesn't require the cooking, so if you don't have access to a stove or to a refrigerator, and it's also a fast food, you know, you don't have to, when you go to the convenience stores in low-income neighborhoods, it's in the fast food meat section, is where you find tuna and other kinds of other. And it's also a low-cost source of protein. So, But low-income people also get amalgam fillings placed more often. And this is particularly true for American Indians, Alaskan Natives, and Asian South Pacific Islanders. Medicaid often only covers the cost of amalgam fillings. Patients are often not given a choice. And I talk to a lot of low-income people around the country. And I asked them, you know, do you know about amalgam? Do you know about mercury and amalgam? And I've also talked to folks, and they've said, well, you know, I tried to get non-amalgam fillings, I wasn't able to. The dentist didn't offer it. This isn't in clinics or in oftentimes. And I've had like anyway. So dental students are also required, often required to place amalgam fillings as part of their dental education. So what are the policies needed in the United States? Well, the policy is that we actually need to increase the amount of fish consumption in pregnant women. There's some protective effects of fish consumption. We think that some people think that it might be due to the fats, the omega-3 fatty acids, but that evidence isn't as clear. But there seems to be some protection for neurological development in children whose mothers eat more fish. But while we're increasing fish consumption, we should be reducing the higher mercury fish consumption. So we also want to eliminate the added mercury from products as much as possible. We need to increase public awareness of the mercury in foods and in products and the availability of low mercury alternatives or no mercury alternatives. There also needs to be a little bit more research in some areas to alternatives to mercury in products where there are no good alternatives currently exist. A lot of times this has to do with specialized measuring devices or laboratory processes where they still use mercury. And then we also need to modify insurance to cover the non-mercury dental products. And so here are a number of references that I used, and I want to thank you for your attention, and I'll take any questions. Yes?
Two questions. First of all, what's the definition of artisanal? I've never seen that word until this morning.
Yeah, do you
know? Secondly, why isn't CMS addressing the Medicaid issue right at the top? And just to say to all the states, no more dollars paid out any longer for amalgam fillings in children.
Right. Okay, so the artisanal, if you go to these conventions, everybody knows what it is, but I had never heard of it before I went. Anyway, it's the community where there are people who are not professionally trained to use it. They use it oftentimes on their own and oftentimes. I don't know, maybe somebody else has a better definition. Can you?
Yeah, I do. It's informal, small gold mining operations that are not sanctioned. They're not authorized. They're done, it's almost like having your own home brew. And it's done on a very, it's on a large scale. It affects 55 million people in the world that are really being harmed by mercury being used to process the gold.
Right.
But it is, it's not sanctioned by governments. It's just the population. It's derived from artisans. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
So it's not corporate. It's not business. It is a business, but it's done on a very informal basis.
Yeah. And they have children that are there, and you can see them shaking in the mines while they're using it.
You don't want to say illegal.
Right.
It's not legally set. Right.
Yes. It's not.
How much the Medicaid question? Where doesn't the Medicaid address?
Well, that's a policy issue, and I think that we need to look at that and say whether Medicaid should be covering the cost of that. I think that,
the quickest way to get a fix.
Yeah, the quickest way to get a fix would be
for
states to do that. Yeah, I know that in my state of Connecticut that we used to cover composite, but that they switch to as a cost savings to only cover the cost of amalgam. That's a question.
I didn't really have a question. I just wanted to add to that discussion that I think some of the
And there are alternatives, even for artisanal gold mining, where they don't have to use mercury. I don't have it for the world. You know, each state has their own fish advisory, and many states do their own testing, and so you can find the amounts of mercury in different fish. But if you're talking about commercial fishery in the ocean, yes, there are some studies of the amount of mercury in fish from around the world. It tends to be, obviously the predatory fish, the larger and the predatory fish tend to have the highest amounts of mercury. But there are, you can go on the UN website, and there are some studies of commercial fish around the world in the amount of mercury. Pardon me? Yes. There is a variability of the mercury in fish from different parts. For mackerel, for example, the Atlantic and Pacific have very low levels of mercury, but King has high levels of mercury. Okay, well, I think that my time is up, so thank you.
All right, thank you. We may have a couple minutes.